Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, as we are looking at these final verses here in this account, and what we've been doing is taking a look, and we will continue to do, Lord willing, as we look in these accounts in the Gospels, and then on over into the in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, we'll take a look there about this account of the Lord instituting his supper, a memorial supper to be observed in remembrance of his death. And we're at verse number 31 here in Matthew chapter 26. Let's go ahead and back up to verse 30 and read. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And so there it is. The Lord has instituted his supper. They sing a hymn, and then they go out in the Mount of Olives. And I've asked you to make a mental marker as we look at these scriptures from the time of the hymn being sung to them arriving at the Garden of Gethsemane. Take a look at that. I challenge you to take your Bible and take a look at the Gospels and see the account of what happened between the hymn and Gethsemane. Take a look at that. There's different ways that churches observe the Lord's Supper. I feel to have been blessed of the Lord to understand about the supper what it is. It is very serious. It is a memorial as regards to his death and that. But to observe the Lord's Supper in this state of fear and that lightning's going to come out of the sky and strike us dead and all that, we lose what it's really about. We need to be self-examined. We need to examine ourselves. We need to judge ourselves. The Scripture says if we do so, it'll be such that the church won't have to. So we need to be doing self-evaluation continually. If there is a special self-evaluation that happens at the time of the Lord's Supper, understand we're not evaluating ourselves correctly the other times. No amens on that. Is there any difference in the service of the Lord? There's not. There's not any difference in the service of the Lord. It's the same. The apostles, those that were there, you know, whether it was the apostles or the entire church, some 120 some that were there with the Lord in that large upper room, whichever it be, that the Lord brought them to a point of self-examination, but they had not known so before. They didn't even know the Lord was going to institute the supper. But he did. And there was a man there that was an apostle that was lost, but it didn't wreck it. He, if it turns out, we'll take a look at John and see what the Scripture says there. If it turns out that Judas was there and partook of that supper, he didn't spoil it for anybody else, did he? No, because it's self-examination. And there is a sense that the church does need to be well and right. I believe that that's scriptural. But even if there is a thing going on, it's brought down to individuals, whether they eat unworthily or not. So we need to take care of ourselves. If there's something that's open in the church that needs to be dealt with, sure, it should be dealt with at any time. We don't do anything justice by letting it set, by leaving it. We won't get better by ignoring a thing. And we've reviewed all those things in other studies and such as that. But they sang this hymn, and we wondered about what the hymn would be. It's common to sing Amazing Grace. I've always thought that the Lily of the Valley would be a good song to sing. And it says then that they go out to the Mount of Olives. Verse 31, Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. He tells them in advance, you're going to be offended in me. You know, in Matthew, there's a few handful of scriptures where the Lord, during his ministry, has dealt with this. In Matthew chapter 11, he says, And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Being offended in Jesus Christ is very serious. There's a whole range at which we can be offended. You know, the disciples were there, and that mob comes looking for the Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane, and Peter takes up to fight, and the Lord says, not going to be a fight here. Not like that. And then at that point, when the Lord says, I'm going to fulfill these things that's written of me to fulfill and that I have come to do, and when the Lord says that, and then asks that mob again, who they're looking for and all those things that take place there, the disciples leave him. They leave him. It's not going to work out their way. So even the apostles pack up and take off. Pack up and take off. They had had this good time and the Lord instituted his supper, but they were offended because of him in that night. In Matthew chapter 13, it says, "Yet hath he not root in himself," speaking of that parable about the seed, the sower and the seed, and the four different kinds of ground that the seed is sown upon. I trust that you're familiar with that. It says there about one of those, it says, "Yet he hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." One that has said that they've been saved, one that has been sown on not the fertile ground, and because of the word, said, "Can't take that. That's going too far," and is offended because of the word of God and the stand that the word of God says that we should take. The Lord Jesus Christ said in that same chapter in Matthew, he says, "They were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." And that's true. He went back to Nazareth where he grew up, and he read to them out of the book of Isaiah, and he said, "This scripture has been fulfilled in your ear this day." And they didn't like it. And they took him to the brow of the hill to pitch him off. He went from hero to zero and about like that. And they were offended in him. He goes on to say here in Matthew chapter 15, his disciples come to him at a time that he's been preaching to the Pharisees, and they say to him, said, "Don't you know that you've offended the Pharisees?" That they were offended? And the point just to see in this is that the Lord's people can be offended in the Lord. Those of the world can be offended in the Lord. The religious elite will be offended because of the Lord. There's many, many reasons and many, many things that come about in being offended that we can be offended. But may the Lord help us that we not be offended. And we not be offended in what the Lord says. He says here in the latter times in Matthew 24, you're familiar with this passage, I trust. "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." Offense because of what this book says and what our Lord has said. And as we mentioned this morning, words from the lips of Jesus will cause folks to be offended. And may the Lord help us that we not be offended in it. In John chapter 16, and we'll get to some of that as we continue in our study, but the Lord said in advance, as he tells them the things that are going to come to pass in this time in John, the book of John, between the hymn and between Gethsemane, he says, "I've told you these things in advance. What's going to happen to me? So you won't be offended. So you'll know that even though they're taking me and they're going to kill me, I'm still in control. I'm still in control, and you can still trust me." Take a look over here in Luke chapter 6. This is something, and sad to say, it happens even in our day, and it happens amongst the Lord's people, amongst Baptists. And it's sad, but it's a thing that does happen in this offense. And so we read here in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse number 20, let's read. "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Verse 22, Luke 6, 22. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and shall cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake." A stand for the Word of God. Amen. The Lord says, blessed are ye. Right. Blessed when you take a stand and everybody turns against you. Blessed are you. He goes on here to say, when they separate you from their company. And you know, we have doctrinal differences that happen among Baptist churches that we fellowship, things that come about and things that just happen, and we agree in some things. Some things come about, we don't agree, and those things come to pass. But there's some things at times that happens that because of a stand, because of the stand for righteousness, because of stand for what the Word of God says, they say, no, can't company with that brother. Can't company with that sister. I can't go that far with you. Because why? If they are right, they've become offended at the living of the Word in somebody's life. May God help us. May the Lord help us on how we reckon and how we judge these things. Because this is something that the Lord has said. Verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. When we've been slandered and we're right, we need to make sure that we're right. We'll make sure that we got the Word of God backing us up. We do have to do that. But when that is the case, and folks step back away, the Lord says, the reward is great. The reward is great. And we, as I've said before, we don't need to have a persecution complex and looking to stir somebody up to make them our enemy, or looking for someone to just rile up and incite right off the bat to where we can create some persecution for ourselves, because the Lord evaluates it by how the fruit of the Spirit is being manifested or not on our part, on theirs, and the whole thing. He says here, rejoice ye in that day, verse 23, and leap for joy. The Lord says, leap, jump up for joy. He says, why? For behold, your reward is great in heaven. Send it on that treasure. Right? Matthew chapter 6, laying up that treasure, reward in heaven, right? Right? Building on that foundation, as it tells us in Corinthians, building on that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. He says, great is your reward in heaven. Leap for joy, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. And if Luke would have written this time a little bit later, he would also said, and the apostles, right? Because they did the same thing. Most of them were put to death. And so we see it there. Look here in John chapter 15. This is in that time between the hymn and Gethsemane. And here the Lord tells us, boy, feel like I've swallowed those gnats that are plaguing us here in Olmsted, or some cottonwood. In John chapter 15, verse number 11, we want to see how this is. He says, then say back in Matthew 26, where we're studying, in verse 31, it says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. That's what he said. Here in John chapter 15, this is the closeness that the Lord has brought us to as his children, as those that he has saved, those that he's placed in his church. This is the nearness that the Lord wants to enjoy and desires to enjoy with us. Listen to what this says. And he tells the apostles in the time, this in the time between the hymn and Gethsemane. He teaches them. Verse 11, John 15, 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. We need his joy, not our own. We need his, and that your joy might be full. That our joy stems from his joy in us. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. How? As I have loved you. Not separating from the company, but love one another. Love one another. Do well one to another. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. We do what the Lord commands us. We prove that we are his friends. We prove that we are his children. Look what he goes on to say. Henceforth, I call you not servants. Moving forward, I don't call you servants anymore, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That's big. The Lord finally come in the flesh and accomplish our salvation. The Lord come in his flesh and build his church and shows it to us. Has he shown it to everybody? No. Is the message to go out from us about it? Yes. But as we mentioned here the other night in studying this passage, praise God that I wasn't born Judas. Could have been. But thank glory to God that he didn't do that to me. He rescued me from that. He saved me from that. And in time, he brought me forth and saved me from my sins. But he says here, you are my friends, because I've told you everything. I'm telling you everything in advance in this time that he teaches them after the Lord's Supper, after the Passover, after the Lord's Supper, from the hymn to Gethsemane. He says, I've told you this. You are my friends. Look here, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. It should be a lasting fruit. Not a fruit that perisheth quickly, but a good witness of what the Lord has done to you and for you that'll last generations beyond you. That's a challenge indeed, isn't it? It'll take a separated life to accomplish that. It'll take a witness. It'll take a witness in life for the Lord Terry is coming or doesn't come back in the time of life that in 40, 50, 60 years, anybody says anything about Jim Duke. It'll take a serious life for the Lord to be remembered. Be a witness, have fruit that remain. Not for the brag upon me, but that the Lord worked in me. That the Lord worked in you. Amen. That the Lord worked in us together at Olmsted Baptist Church. It's not only individually, but it's as our church. What will the witness be? What will be the fruit that will remain? That whatsoever ye ask of the Father, there at the end of verse 16, in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Love one another in patience, long-suffering, in truth, in the pursuit and way of the Lord, and not separating ourselves one from another, not being offended in the word of the Lord. Back in Matthew 26, verse 31, then Jesus saith unto them, you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. He tells them a thing. He says, after I'm risen, he's telling them in advance, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to die, but I'm going to raise again. Even though I'm dead, I'm going to be in control, and I'll meet you in Galilee. I'll go before you into Galilee. As we take a look at this, and over in Matthew chapter 28, that's close. Turn over there real quick. And look. Look at this. I love this. Matthew 28, verse 7. The angel that is there, at the tomb where the Lord was buried, he says in verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. He had told him before his death that he'll meet him in Galilee. The angel says the same thing. And then we go on here to verse number 10 and look and see what it says here. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren. Brethren, are we not made joint heirs with Christ? Amen. And a joint heir in a family, when you're talking about one that's already a son, and we have been made sons, brothers. Boy. Kinship with Christ. A kinship that spans even the kinship that we have on the, that supersedes the kinship we have on this earth. Because it's a kinship because of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And they go ahead and do so. And it seems to me, as you consider this, that there's occasion where the Lord ascended from them and gave them the Great Commission, maybe in a couple places. We're talking to somebody about that recently. In verse number 16, it goes on to say, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. May the Lord help me that I not doubt. Even then, there were those that doubted. May the Lord help us that we not doubt. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He's got the ability. He's got the authority. He's got everything. The complete sanction of the Father. He's got everything. He said, I've got it all. Go there, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Remember, if you observe what I've commanded to you, then you show that you love me and you show that you're my friend. Right? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so the Lord tells this and tells them in advance about going to Galilee. And Mark, it says, Mark 16, but go your way, tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. And in John chapter 21, let's go ahead and turn over here real quick. John chapter 21, last chapter in the book of John. Verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. So there was yet another time there as he dealt with them. Peter says, I go a-fishing. I'm going to go back to what I'm comfortable with. Six others go with him. Let's be careful how we lead folks. Right. And the Lord dealt with them and dealt with Peter, told about what Peter should do and how he should feed his lambs, feed his sheep, challenged Peter about his love for him, those things that he had spoken in advance. And the Lord deals with Peter, and we're going to see more about that here. Turn back to Matthew 26, verse 33. So the Lord, after the hymn, the Lord is dealing with his church. He's dealing with his disciples. There's fellowship amongst them, and he's telling them more about what's going to happen, what they are to do, what he is going to do, what's going to happen in spite of their will and desire to be faithful to him. And that's what we're going to deal with here. Verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all shall be offended because of thee, will I never be offended. If we take out those italicized words, Peter answered and said unto him, though all shall be offended because of thee, will I never be offended. And I tell you what, don't ever say never. I've got a handful of nevers, and I've done them all. Oh, but the Lord help us to see that the Lord, what I say sometimes, Lord helps me to keep right use of my mind, and the Lord being my helper. May he help me to be faithful to him in this, that, or the other. May the Lord, for his honor and his glory, help me that I would be faithful to him, that I would hear him, that I would believe him, that I would trust him in what he says, and I would really, really, really take it to heart. Peter makes this bold statement. He says, even though everybody, if a few of these guys bail out on you, I guess I'm out of here. He doesn't say that. Though everybody, not me. And Peter would say that, wouldn't he? He's bold. If it comes across his brain, he tells it. He just tells it. And he's been out there fishing with who? Zebedee's sons. Zebedee means my gift. The name Zebedee means my gift. Yet the Lord says, James and John, Boanerges is your name, the sons of thunder. Amen. They say whatever comes across their brain, they say it. They say it. They're bold. They're loud. They just tell it. And they've been out there fishing with Peter and Andrew. They're the same way. They just tell it. Peter says, no, not me. Not me. Understand, folks, it's not about how faithful we promise to be. Listen to me. It's not about how faithful we promise to be that counts. Not that we are let off the hook, if you will, by the Lord. But we are to be faithful. We are to be faithful, but we need His power to do well. Amen. Some folks come to the Lord's Supper and they say, yeah, I'm just afraid. I just can't keep it up. Yeah, you know, that's the thing. You can't keep it up. We can't keep it up. If you're a people, if you're a person, you can't keep it up. Get over it. We can't. But what's the scripture say? Oh, he says, worry about faithfulness now. Right now. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about being faithful next week. You got to deal with being faithful now. I've got to deal with being faithful this moment. This moment. Amen. Today. Today. Don't borrow trouble by trying to figure out things down there. Lord might come back between now and then. You wasted all that effort trying to worry about it and plan it and think of it. And we should plan and that. But you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Peter says, no, I'm going to be solid and faithful to the end. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Right here, right now, moving on to Christ. You know, I've just not been faithful. Well, okay, ask the Lord to forgive you, forgive yourself, and then move on. Right. Move on. Move on for the Lord, day by day by day. In Philippians 4, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, if Peter, and we don't want to rail on Peter and that, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't even probably committed to that as he did. But he says, if he'd have said, though all be offended, if you'll help me, I won't be. Though everybody bail out on you, if you'll help me, I won't be offended. And that's the way it is for us. And if that is the case with you, say, well, you know, the Lord's Supper scares me to death. I'm afraid I'm going to make a wrong move. And I just don't know if I can be faithful, you know, coming up. I don't know if I can keep it up. But we need to be faithful. But deal with today. Pray for today. Live today. And don't worry about tomorrow till the morrow comes. In Hebrews 4, it says, let us come, therefore, come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, that which we deserve, but the Lord says, no, I'll not mete it out. We may obtain mercy. We've got something coming. And the Lord says, no, I'll refrain it. And find grace, getting that which we do not deserve, but yet being given unto us. You know, we say, well, the Lord's been good to me better than I deserve. Listen, that's the case with all of us, all the time, 24/7, 365 and 366 days on leap year. That's the case all the time. We deserve nothing, but He is gracious and merciful to us. In that way. In 2 Corinthians it says, here is how we need to live, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Christ died for me. He just said, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friend. For his friend. And the Lord gave his life for me. For me. In John chapter 15, the Lord says, I'm the vine and ye are the branches. Understand the order. Understand who's got the power. Understand who's got the nourishment. Understand who's got the ability, the authority. Understand who we are and who God is. He says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do only 90%. Nikki's over shaking his head. No, you can do nothing. Nothing. And that's where prayer is opened up to us and becomes so important. To petition the Lord, to ask him to do the impossible in us. We can't make it, but the Lord can. You know, it's only going to be hours. It's only going to be hours or less till the apostles fall asleep when the Lord tells them to pray. Had the Passover with the Lord. He's instituted his supper. He's told them these things and is telling them these things. And they're going to, in just a couple hours, they're going to fall. They're going to be offended in him. And they're going to fall asleep when he has them and asks them to pray. Matthew chapter 26, in verse 37, we look ahead here. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Matthew 26, verse 38. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? You know, if we will understand our frailty and our inability in the way and the context that the Lord does, in that we can have confidence. Now, that sounds like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, doesn't it? But see, that's what I mean about seeing the big picture that God sees. We can't do in and of ourselves. But we have a promise that we can do through him. Amen. See, and his promise, yeah, have you ever found a promise of the Lord to be kind of, well, that one kind of works sometime and that one doesn't work in it sometime. It's never that way with the Lord, is it? You know, and I'll make you a promise. You'll have problems with my promises. It shouldn't be, but I am fallible. I will mess up. I will forget. I'll get sick. I'll have problems. I'll not be able to. But it's not that way with the Lord, is it? Never. Never with the Lord. And if we can see that, and the thing is folks can do that and say, well, I can't do anything. Well, that's true. But if you sit back on the seat to do nothing, you will accomplish nothing. But if we understand where we are before the Lord and then line up with what he says about it, avail ourselves to prayer, and then seek his kingdom and seek his righteousness and pursue after him, there's a blessing there. There is a blessing there. Goodness and blessing from the Lord. He goes on here and says, he said, couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, verse 41, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Make sure the spirit that's in you is alive. He's talking about the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Peter has promised that if all of them bail out on him, on the Lord, he will remain faithful. And the Lord says, stay awake for an hour and pray with me. Though all be offended, I won't be offended. He falls asleep. They fall asleep. We are weak, and we need the Lord. Verse 43, he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. You know, it's only going to be hours before, or as we've read here, that they fall asleep from this time that Peter makes this declaration. When the Lord says that all are going to be offended, and Peter says no, it's only going to be hours before they fall asleep, and it's only going to be moments or hours before they all flee. Take a look here in verse number 56. They take up the fight. The Lord says, no, put up your sword in its place, verse 52. And in verse number 55, the Lord says, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. As we observe the Lord's Supper, let us understand that it's to remember His death for us. Our commitment to the Lord is to be a whole life, body, living sacrifice commitment to the Lord. Yield our lives a living sacrifice, which is pleasing to Him. To pursue having our mind renewed by His Word. To have our hearts changed, our minds changed to think like God thinks and not think like we think and the world thinks. That we be like Him, that we submit to be used of Him in any way that He is pleased to use us, and we live today for Him. Not a thing of promising for the future and days and weeks and months and years, although that is what we desire, but to understand that the service that we have is today. And pray often that the Lord will be our helper to obey Him, even when it gets tight, even when it gets tough, today. To when we come upon things, and I live more in this life, and I trust that I'm seeing how it is, the biggest problem that we have is time, isn't it? Time. In one sense, we have a very little time to live and serve and follow the Lord on this earth. But then when temptation comes our way, and we have to take a stand, or we're see a thing coming or a thing developing. It's going to be hard for me to describe this, but we get into a situation where we've taken a stand for the truth of the Lord, of the Lord's Word. Then what do we have to do? We have to wait to see the outcome, don't we? And the wait is the hardest thing, isn't it? Waiting to see if it's all going to fall apart. Waiting to see if what we think is going to come to pass is really going to come to pass. Waiting to see how the Lord is going to deliver in a thing. Waiting. And the Lord says, in patience, possess ye your souls. We have to wait to see the deliverance and work of the Lord. Here, the disciples were enjoying the sweet fellowship with the Lord, making promises that they were going to be faithful to Him, enjoying that fellowship and all those things. And then in a very short time, fled from His presence, forsook Him, and went away from Him. And these things needed to be fulfilled, as the Scripture says. But when we observe the Lord's Supper, let us remember His death for us. Let us remember what He did for us. Don't make promises, don't make plans, but live every now for the Lord. In verse number 34 of Matthew 26, and Jesus said unto him, Peter said, though all are offended in thee, I won't be. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, Peter, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times. And you know what? It came to pass. Not only did Peter flee there in Gethsemane with the other apostles, but there when they took the Lord to the Sanhedrin, it seems, and as folks were coming in and gathering, John went on down into the Sanhedrin. Peter's out there on the perimeter. They challenged Peter. Hey, you're one of them. He says, no, I'm not. Said, yeah, your speech gives you away. No, I'm not. And a maid comes along and said, yeah, I saw you with him. And he curses and denies the Lord. He was said he just hours ago he was going to be so faithful. And now he has denied the Lord. Turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 22. You know, and our sin doesn't thwart the Lord. We miss out on blessings. But it, praise God, it doesn't thwart him. We don't need to be presumptuous in that regard. You know how the Lord told him in other passages, and we've read them before, you're familiar with, he says, but I've prayed for thee. Say, Peter, you're going to deny me tonight three times. And Satan wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to see what you're really made of. He wants to put you to the test. But I have prayed for thee, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Amen. Peter, you're going to go through this, and when you come out on the other side of it, you're going to be able to help the church. Amen. You're going to be able to help the church. And here in Luke, after Peter had denied the Lord, in Luke chapter 22, verse number 60, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while yet spake the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. He made boastings in himself. Just after that, in the midst of that sweet fellowship with the Lord, in the Passover, in the Lord's Supper, in the teaching of the Lord after the hymn, and he made great boastings about the future and found that he in and of himself is weak, that he needs the Lord's help. And, oh, don't you know the grief that when the Lord turned, when the Lord heard the rooster crow, he turned around to Peter and looked at him. And Peter remembered what the Lord had told him and went out and wept bitterly. He saw that he can't do it, but the Lord in him has got to be the one to do it. He saw that his will, his strength, his ability won't go far. But with the Lord, we can do it all. Back in Matthew 26, Matthew chapter 26. Verse 35, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, verse 34, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. The Lord's Supper. May we see it for what it is. May the Lord help us to not make more out of it than it is. Not a ritual, a rite, something like the world tries to make it. But let us see that it's just remembering the Lord's death for us. That's what it is. And may the Lord help us to self-examine ourselves all the time according to the principles and His Word, all the time, that we be ready to take it any time. May the Lord help us as a church, that we deal with sin when it comes up in the church, and as we should, according to the Scripture, in a right way, and in love and care for the sake of the purity of the church. And when we partake of it, may we remember our Lord dying for us and not seek to make promises we can't keep, not seek to be filled with boldness of our own, but let us seek to live today, now, with the help and strength of the Lord, and day by day by day live for Him and enjoy that which He's given us to do. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to repent of your sins and trust in Him. You need Jesus Christ and Him alone, and His power to save, His power to take your sins and wash them away. That's what you need. You're guilty before God, and you need to repent before God that you are, and you need to trust in Jesus Christ. Brother Jim, I'm trusting all I can trust. Look to Him. Look to Him. There's something that you lack, something that you need, assurance of salvation, anything, fear that you have, go to the Lord with it. Ask Him. For whatever it is that you desire, you ask Him. You repent before Him. You trust in Him. You believe Him. Take Him at what He said, not what you can do, but at what He said.